Thanks for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms and we serve in the city of joy, Kolkata. It is our desire to reach out to those in need and to be instruments of effective change in a hurting world. If you like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you'll enjoy today's message.
Growing up, I used to look at all this Mr. Universe and also see people who are weightlifters and bodybuilding and these super guys who pick up weight and they look at the muscles and think, wow, they're so strong. Wow, look at them. And that's the way I always thought. Every time I saw anyone who had muscles, I thought they were very strong people. And that was in my understanding. But a couple of years back, I had learned something new. It happened, we had some event, I think it was the WM sale. And so we were picking up some of the boxes and we were taking up, bringing up to the lawn. And one of our young people was around and he had been busy doing weightlifting and going to the gym and also he had this nice muscular looking guy. So I told him, hey, can you just help me with this box? And I called some other guys also. Some of my teens also had come to help. And I was surprised. This guy, the box which I can pick up, it's heavy. We had Bibles. We were just taking Bibles. The box is about this small. By the time he came up and he went back down, he was huffing and puffing. And I was like, what's happening? I thought he was sick. Then I said, I'm sorry. Are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, you're out of breath. And he didn't know what to say. He felt very embarrassed because I thought he was strong. And with all the muscles, it was not so. And then later on when I was really bewildered because my teens who were skinny weeny fellows, they were picking and going up so many times and coming back and picking up more boxes and going up. And this guy was out of breath after picking one or two boxes. He was done. He was just sitting and panting. He went and drank water and all. So I was like, okay. So then when later on I found out and I realized that in today's day and age, it is possible to just, how do you say, fluff up your muscles or build up your muscles without any strength. So you can have the looks, but not the real thing. And that was a big learning for me. After that, I don't trust so easily when I see people who's got a lot of muscles. So that's the thought that stays in my mind. So many times in our life too, we have been so hit with situations around us, we can also have a major reality check. Today we are going to talk about strength. And the passage we'd like to look at, Pastor Agnel of course read a few of these verses, but I'd like to look at it once again. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to with me and let's look at Isaiah 40. Verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is a very, very interesting chapter, Isaiah 40. Before that, verses chapters 1 to 39, God is talking about warnings and things that are going to happen. And a big lot of issues are happening. But from Isaiah 40 till 55, 15 chapters, there's a shift. And in this shift, the people are already in captivity. They are in a very bad state. After all the warnings that God had given them, sending his prophets, talking to them, several wars, but they just did not get the message. Finally, their persistent rebellion and disobedience brought severe discipline from God. The Babylonians captured them, and now they are in Babylon. Almost 70 years are going by. Suffering. Everything is gone. They are in a bad state. And it is in this situation that God brings this series of messages from Isaiah 40 till 55. In fact, all of these words of affirmation and love and prophecy that God is giving to his people is totally fulfilled in Jesus. And so these 15 chapters is actually called the Gospel of Isaiah, in Isaiah. That is how beautiful this passage is. And so right here, the Israelites are in a bad state. And God is asking them, do you not know? Have you not heard? When we go through life, I do not know about you, but maybe in some situations of our life, when we are not really doing that well, someone comes and corrects us and tells us, hey, watch out what you're doing. It might lead to not such good conclusions. And we say, no, chill. I've got everything under control. Have you ever said that? Don't worry. Everything be okay. You're worrying too much. Don't fret so much. I'll handle it. Everything. And something goes off. You say, no, it's okay. I know I have plan number two. I have plan number three. So we have our plans. We have our things all planned out in life. We know what we want to do 3 years from here, 4 years from now, 5, 10, whatever. Our plans are all set. But then, all of our plans blow up in our faces. And things don't really work out the way we thought. So we go from a place being overconfident that we have life in our control. We don't need anyone else telling us what to do. We have planned. We know our sources. We know what we are. I have my contacts. I have my help all planned out. From that overconfidence, when things blow up in our face and things go completely haywire, we come to the other extreme. And what is the other extreme? The other extreme is a place where we can't trust anything. We become hysterical. We become totally depressed. Anyone who tries to offer help, we say, no, I don't want to trust anybody. I hate everything. I'm fed up with my life. I want to end my life. And we've gone to that other extreme. And we think, everyone has forgotten about us. Even God has forgotten about us. God does not care about us. We don't matter anymore to anybody. Have you ever been in that place? From one extreme to the other extreme, and we wonder what is happening? This is exactly the background where Israel is right now. All of their plans, all of their contacts with all the surrounding nations, all that political alliances they had, their sources, everything, they thought they had everything in place. Today, they are lying in a place where they are in Babylon, 70 years of captivity. Their home, everything they thought they had control over is burnt down, gone. Most of their family is dead. So they are at this place where they are so broken, so shattered, they don't know what's going to happen with their life. In that situation, God begins to speak. It's literally when you are in a place where you've hit rock bottom. All of your plans have failed. Nothing is working out. It's literally, we've got to go back to our ABCDs again to be able to stand up again. They've lost hope. They are confused. They are exhausted. They are harassed. They are suffering. Nothing seems to be working. And right there, Isaiah 40 begins. And you know what the first word God gives them in Isaiah 40? He says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And he tells his prophet, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Look at the deep intensity and passion of God's heart. When somebody is hysterical and lost everything, we normally tell them, calm down, calm down. Just calm, peace, peace, just settle down. That's exactly what God is telling his people. Hey, you've just gone off the deep end. You're hysterical. You've just lost the right perspective. You can't see straight. Come, comfort, comfort my people. And he speaks so tenderly to them. He says, yes, you have suffered. You have suffered for your sins. What wrong you have done, the wrong choices you made, the wrong decisions you've taken, your act of constant rebellion, your stubbornness has brought you to this place. And yes, you have suffered. You have received the correction. You have received that discipline double for all your sins. You've suffered enough. Comfort. When we hit rock bottom, we need to thank our God. He's not the God who just walks away. He's the God who reaches out and calls out to us by our name. He's a God who says, comfort. Comfort my people. I know many times in my life, when things have not gone the way I planned or what I thought would happen, and it's just beyond me, and I'm crying and I just can't think straight. Sometimes I can be raving and ranting and angry with God, and I'm shouting and screaming. He just listens and he allows me to express, pour out everything. And then after that he says, peace. Quiet, my child. I am there with you. That's the kind of love and intensity with which God is reaching out to his people. And he goes on to say, all your hype is over. You have suffered. You have struggled. Now comfort and prepare your heart. Prepare your heart to receive the Lord. When we think of preparing our hearts, we normally think that, okay, I have to straighten my heart life and come to God and say, Lord, please forgive me and beg. This is different. God is saying, I am coming to you. It's not about you coming to me. I'm going to take that step. You're broken, you're shattered. I know what you're going through. And I'm going to do that. I'm coming to you. And so you need to prepare. Prepare the way. It says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places a plain. The glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Just the way God went to Egypt to get his people out of slavery. Once again, God is telling the Israelites that, you know what? I am coming to deliver you. And you need to prepare the way. When we have any dignitaries coming, you'll see the roads suddenly getting a new face over. Suddenly you'll find people coming and all the potholes are repaired and dug up and covered, and mud is put and raised thing. They might even do fresh painting fast. You'll see all night people are working with paint, and then in the morning it looks all fresh and clean. God is saying, you'll need to do that. But this over here is on a huge scale. The preparation that needs to be done is the valleys need to be brought up. Mountains need to be brought down to level it. Look at the sentences. The rough place shall become level and the rugged places a plain. That is how beautiful it's going to be prepared. That's the kind of preparation you need to do, because your King, your Creator, your mighty God is coming to deliver you. And that's what John the Baptist declares in Matthew 3:3. He says, let your heart be clean and ready. It is confirmed God is coming. Your Savior is coming to set you free. You can trust his word. You know, when things don't happen right, you don't trust anything. And sometimes you even don't trust God. Poor God, he never did anything to us. But we planned, we messed up our plan, but ultimately the ulta jhapur he gets. So he said, no, I cannot pray anymore. I don't think he's there for me. I don't even answer my prayer. He doesn't care about me. That's the situation right here. And the prophet Isaiah is telling, you can trust your God. You can trust your God. Why? Then the chapter goes on in a beautiful, amazing revelation where God reveals himself again. He teaches his people who he is. And that's what we're going to go through as quickly as we can. Please bear with me and join on this journey to see God revealing himself in his power and his might. Just once again, reminding his people of who he really is, so that once again they can really put their faith and trust in him, and he can give them that strength they need to rise up again. And so the first thought or point that God brings to his people is that the Lord is different. So he says, all people are like grass, all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord endures forever. God is telling his people, hey, I am not human beings. Those people you trusted in, you thought you could make your life with them. You thought you could depend upon them. They have failed you. They have wrecked your life. But you know what? I am different. I am not like them. My word endures forever. I am the God who is different from what you have experienced in the tragedies of your life. I'm not like them. Then who am I? Who is our God? He goes on to say, he's a God who is faithful. In verse 8, he says, the word of our Lord is the only constant in the world of human failings, unreliability, and change. When he says the word of our God endures forever, he's talking where everything else, promises can be broken by people. Word they give can go away haywire. Where we thought we could put our trust can break. But he is our faithful God. And so he says, go and spread the news to everybody. You can tell them that your God is faithful. You can go and shout the good news to Jerusalem. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is our God. And when here God is talking about his faithfulness, the word that is used here, the Greek, Hebrew word that is used, is the same word that is used for God's covenant of love. That is how deep and beautiful this word is. So he's not a God who moves with his mood swings. When he is faithful, he is faithful. When you're going through tough times, he has not left you. When tragedy hits your home, he has not left you. He's still faithful. That is his character. He's different from human beings. Don't put him back in that box, which we think God is like. And he goes on to say, that God, he is a God who is powerful and just, and yet he's tender and caring. Verses 10 to 11, he says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He's a God of justice. He's a God who will see that justice is done. Can you imagine his own people, the Israelites, went into 70 years of captivity because he's the God of justice? Just because we are his people doesn't mean we can get off the hook. If we do something wrong, you can be sure you will face that discipline. He's our heavenly Father. He is the all-powerful Father. He is a mighty God who comes victoriously in total power, total control. And yet, he's a God who's tender and caring. Look at verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. What infinite power and infinite tenderness. Can you just think of the picture? Can you just imagine yourself being hugged by God and your head is on his chest? Can you think for a second? Just imagine. Close your eyes and just think of yourself being hugged by God and your head on his chest. That's how much he loves and cares about you. Yes, we may have messed up. Yes, we may not think we are worthy enough for such great love. But he has chosen to wrap his loving arms around us. That's how much he loves you. Can you turn to the person seated next to you and tell that person, God loves you? Some are doing it, some are looking as straight as you can. It's okay to tell people that God loves them. Relax. You're not in punishment. You've come to God's house. And the joy of the Lord needs to be your strength. So God tells his people, firstly, that he is different. Secondly, he is faithful. Thirdly, he is powerful and just, yet tender and caring. He cares about everything that you and I go through. He keeps count of every teardrop. That's the extent of his love and care for us. Fourthly, he goes on to say that he is capable and mighty. Mighty. More mightier than his creation. And so he gives people, his people, a reality check. And he asks them this question. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand, marked off the heavens? Can you imagine marking? Have you marked? We count, calculate. By the breadth of his hand, he marked off the heavens. Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scale and the hills in a balance? When we are talking about a God who is mighty, he's capable and he's mighty. It's not like the movies, heroes we see now, just flying across the place a little bit and beating few people up. That's not the kind of mighty God we're talking about. Or sometimes Cartoon Network, we see now, wee, it's gone. The wee has come this side. Sometimes we put God in that picture and we think God is like that. And here God is giving his people a reality check. And he tells them, hey, who has measured the heavens? Who has measured the earth? Who has weighed the mountains and the hills in a balance and scale? That's who I am. I am your creator. I am your mighty God. We need a reality check. Many times we do not recognize how awesome and great this God is. We say the words, but we don't know the power behind it. And Isaiah 40, God is bringing the power behind the so-called words we use. That's what my prayer is this morning. That even as I speak, each one of us, something will happen in our hearts. That we'll see our God, how great and mighty he is. That he is a capable and mighty God, much, much mightier and greater than anything created. He's not done with. He says, he reveals his wisdom and knowledge. And he goes on to ask in 13 and 14, who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Is there any counselor God has who has counseled him on what to do? Who did God consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge and or showed him the path of understanding? The question is, no one. No one comes near him. He is the only one. He is the one whose wisdom cannot be compared with anything. He is the one who has all the knowledge that is required. He is the great and mighty one. And you and I need to understand that. Sometimes our prayer is, God, can you see what I'm going through? Have you said that? God, do you understand what I'm going through? We think we have to give him one, 101 explanation of what we are going through. Sometimes our prayers are like that. And here God is saying, my wisdom and knowledge, no one can compare with it. That is who I am. So, wake up. Wake up. You and I, as God's people, need to walk with that kind of authority. We need to know who our God is, how great and awesome He is. And so God not only shows, tells His people who He is, that He is not like the rest. He's different. He's faithful. He's powerful. He's just. He is incomparable with wisdom and knowledge. And he goes on to say, he's more worthy of worship than any nation can ever bring him. Verse 15 and 16, he says, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they are fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animal enough for burnt offerings. God is telling his people, I am so great that the entire earth, all of the nations, cannot bring me enough of offerings and sacrifices. I'm worthy of worship much more than that. Sometimes we think we are doing God a great favor, a big deal, when we come in and give our little offering. Little bit that we do for God, we think, oh, we are doing so much for God. And God says, you've just got it all wrong. I'm much more worthy of worship. I'm way, way worthy of worship. This morning when we were worshiping, how was our worship? Were you just going through the motions? Were you the thinking that in your mind that I'm in church, that itself is a big deal? I'm singing a song, that itself is a big deal. Our God is so worthy of his worship. Every song you can sing from the depths of our heart can touch his heart. And still, you can keep going on and on and on. Sometimes I do not like the worship to stop. I just want to bask in his presence. And yet, I feel so insufficient to tell him how much he is worthy. Do you feel like that? Yes. That should be the cry of our heart. That's who he is, and that's what he's telling his people. Hey, of course you have so many rituals that you come throughout the year with all of the festivals. The Israelites were expert at that. They were supposed to bring for sacrifices, whether it was grain sacrifice or whether it was animal sacrifice, and whatever festivals they had, they came and ate together, they rejoiced together, and sometimes they just went through the motions thinking of it. And here, right here, he's saying, even Lebanon, with all of its precious and best wood, it's not enough for the altar fires. Neither are the animals enough for the sacrifices, burnt offerings. I am way, way worthy of worship. More worship, worthy of worship. And then he goes on to say, verses 17, 23 to 24. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground when he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. How many of us are scared of the surrounding nations? The superpowers in our world can control those in leadership, authority. It can be sometimes so frightening. And here God says, I am the God who is sovereign. I rule. I send forth my word, and even before they are planted, they are moved away. Nothing happens by accident. I'm in complete, total control. I am the God who's above everything else. He is the sovereign one, reigning supreme. In your life, do you feel things are gone out of control? Small, one little person, we are almost like an ant in comparison to everything around. And sometimes our situations can be so overwhelming, we don't know how to handle it. And here God is saying, I'm handling everything. I rule everything. There is no nation that is stronger than me. There is no power that is stronger than me. To go quickly, he goes on to say that he is the Holy One. He is the Creator. And he tells his people, with whom will you compare me? With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Remember, he's talking to his people, who had so many names for God. Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. These were the names they called God. And now they are in a situation and all the names have gone out of their head. And so God is bringing them back to their memory. And he's saying, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits on above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? One of our biggest mistakes or failures is we make a caricature or image of God in our head based on our experiences or what we say. And that's our God in our head. The Israelites had that God in their head. They kept copying the other nations. And they felt that this is who God was. Remember? Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He said, prove. Let's decide once for all who God is. And then we can serve him. It was the Israelites only who had become the prophets of Baal. A group of them. Remember, not outsiders. It's the Israelites. They made a picture of God in their head. And they thought what they made was what was going to answer them. And the prophet proved it to them that what we think is God is not really God. And that is why it's so important for us to read the word of God. Because in his word, God reveals himself to us. And the more you and I get to know him, the more our foundation and strength become stronger. Otherwise, when problems come, we get broken And we are not even able to come to church or pray or even read God's word. We cut ourselves out from everything because we are so shattered and broken because we never had a foundation in the first place. So in order for us to renew our strength, it's not about the time where we come to God and just tell a whole bunch of mantras to God and expect him to do it, or just quote a few verses and say, God, please do it. Do it fast, fast for me. Why is it not happening? Please complete it for us. It does not happen like that. We need to go back to the basics. And the basics is, he is our creator, the Holy One. There is no equal for him. He is the one and only one, the Holy One. When you and I come into his presence, do we have that holy reverence for him? Do we carry his presence with that reverence? So he blows up the people's imagination with who he is by giving the statement, helping them to remember. Then he goes one step further. And he shows that he's the God who is in complete control and he commands everything. Verses 26 to 26, he says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Some of us do not have a proper foundation of who God is. We slip into astrology. We live in superstition and fears. We think the stars and the planet control us. And we like to read horoscopes and check and see what is going to happen in my future. Palmistry. Or then nowadays wind chimes. Or getting rid of the wrong. The other day only I read one. I found it very funny. But someone, I think, I forget where it was. But he said, when you go to sleep, keep a glass of water underneath your bed. You know what that glass of water is supposed to do? It's supposed to soak in all the negative energy. Honestly speaking, I won't be surprised. People, if they read it, they might just take one glass of water and keep it at the edge of the bed. It should be half inside the bed, half outside the bed. Okay, on the edge. So the edge of the bed should like go halfway through the glass. So you can just see and you can sleep peacefully. So all the energy goes into it. Astrology. And God says here, right here, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? God brings out the starry host one by one. He calls them by name. The stars listen to his command. The planets obey him. The planets are not directing your life. And the star is not directing your life, no matter what you may say. So no matter how much superstitious we may be, and tie whatever we want to ward off the eye. There's one thing, stone called the eye stone or whatever. No, that's another one they wear. To catch the evil. So they'll be protected. Either they take one poor little baby and tie all black strings on all the hands and legs and all and say, go walk. Protection. God is breaking all of this. He's saying, look to me. Stop looking to man-made things. The more you look to man-made things, the more messed up you will be. And you'll wonder, how come it did not protect you? And that's where he so beautifully says, I control everything and I command everything. So right here, he begins by talking to his people. Comfort, comfort. Prepare your heart. I am different. I am the God who's faithful. I am powerful and just, yet tender and caring. I am capable and mighty, much more mightier than my creation. My wisdom and knowledge cannot be compared with anything else. I am more worthy of worship. I'm the one and only who deserves that worship. All worship should be due to me. I am sovereign. I am your creator, the Holy One. I am the one who controls and commands. And then he gets down to the great complaint that the Israelites had. And you know what the complaint was? Verse 27 says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God." See that classic question. Maybe you're going through a tough situation right now, and this is your question. Maybe you're grumbling, you're complaining, you're in pain, and you think your way is hidden from the Lord and your cause is disregarded by the Lord. And right here, God summarizes it in verse 28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." I like the Message translation. In the Message translation, it says like this, verse 27 onwards. "Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying God has lost track of me? He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He is the creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath, and he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts, for even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall, but those who wait upon the Lord get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind." What a beautiful conclusion to the people who's looking for hope, for answer, for strength, to rebuild their trust once again. You are not putting trust in a man-made thing. You're putting trust in your Creator. You are trusting the one who made you, the God who's ever faithful, the God who says, "Do not fear." The Lord who is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. This morning, I do not know what you're going through. But it's so important that each one of us get our basics right. We can only receive the strength God gives based on our trust with him. To the extent we trust him, we'll be able to receive what he has for us. Otherwise, most of the time, you know what we do? We say, "God, I don't trust you, so I'm not taking it." God has it for us. He's saying, "Come, trust me. Just hold my hand." "No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Send me some other help. But I will not trust. I will not hold your hand. Because I can't trust you." This morning, God is stretching out his hand to you and saying, "My child, are you ready to trust me? I will give you the strength. You will not go weary. Any man-made thing will break." Young people with all of their strength and stamina can get weary and tired. People with all of their experience, with all of their capacity, with all of their sources will fail. They will stumble and fall. But those who hope on the Lord will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We hope you would stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram by using @AGC Kolkata. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. Hope you have a great week ahead.